It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 15th. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Get to know this phrase, cyber ops. President Obama has reportedly signed a secret directive that sets out rules for how the military might get aggressive in the face of a cyber attack. The order acknowledges that the military's response to a computer attack isn't just battening down the hatches on government computers to stop hackers or malicious software. Washington Post national security correspondent Ellen Nakashima found out about the secret directive and says it spells out what's considered defensive versus offensive.
Something is offensive, you might want to have a lot higher scrutiny and a higher level of permission required before you say, so we can go out and take an offensive or attack action.
Following the presidential directive, she says the Pentagon is now drawing up rules of engagement to give commanders some leeway to act against a cyber threat.
It's a first step. It sets a precedent in that, for the first time, the military will be able to take some defensive actions outside government networks in defense of the nation without having to get presidential permission. Start from there, and as people become more and more comfortable with that idea that the military can take these actions and not cause huge collateral damage, bringing down, you know, civilian power grids or hospitals or a banking system, then maybe they'll be able to get a little more as the years go by, but they want to start somewhere.
The Obama administration wants some private companies to harden their defenses against cyber attacks, but the secret directive is about readying the government. Jake Alcott is at the internet security risk management firm Good Harbor.
This is more about the scope and legal authorizations of how the government uses its offensive capabilities. And to the extent that the two are intertwined, that's great, but they're both important debates to be having.
The administration's expected to resume its push for cybersecurity legislation in the new term. Let's go on a quick field trip now. Our innovation itinerary starts at Virginia Tech, the Materials Science and Engineering Department. A team led by Professor Shashank Priya created a tiny component inside cell phones to do a simple but important task.
So the goal of the project is to capture small amounts of movement and convert that into electricity.
Priya's team put zinc oxide on top of silicon, which gins up a bit of current when your phone gets jostled in your pocket. The stuff can generate enough charge for a last emergency call on a phone with a dying battery. For more juice, Priya is working on a tiny wind turbine that you can take on a camping trip. Next stop in our innovation itinerary, Seoul, South Korea, where Samsung is working out the kinks on mobile phones that bend. The Wall Street Journal is reporting the flexible displays could hit the market next year. Why all this R&D to make the Gumby of cell phones? Well, to make handsets that don't shatter and possibly have screens with funky shapes. Last, we go to space. According to the journal Nature Geoscience, U.S. government scientists have a new way to track changes in the outer reaches of the atmosphere caused by the same carbon dioxide linked to climate change. More CO2 can cool the outer atmosphere, lessening the drag on satellites. Those changes can hurt a satellite's orbit. Tracking the temperature variations gives scientists a way to help satellites stay on track. Not that it's needed, but there's an additional selling point for the new video game Call of Duty Black Ops 2. It's the supposed year 2025. The digitized Secretary of Defense has a familiar name, Petraeus. Looks just like him, too. No avatar for the Petraeus biographer, though. I'm David Brancaccio, and that is Marketplace Tech. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.